Today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is Canto 10, and we are reading from text 37 and 39, which are together. So today we read from the 10th canto, and what I'll do, I'll read the first two verses, which are not on the board, and then we'll read it together, the one that is on the board. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jaya Prabhupada. When Krishna opened His mouth wide by the order of Mother Yashoda, she saw within His mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space, and all directions, along with the mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing wind, fire, the moon, and the stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky, and creation by transformation of Ahankara. She saw the senses, the mind, sense perception, and the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for the living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw desires and different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation, along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. We're not going to repeat it because it's quite a long translation. It's reasonable long purport. Oh, half page purport. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the cosmic manifestations that exist on the gross and subtle elements, as well as the means of their agitation, the three gunas, the living entity, creation, maintenance, annihilation, and everything going on in the external energy of the Lord, all this comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Everything is within the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10. 9.10? What is it? Maya Dyakshena Prakriti Suryate Sacharacharam. Everything is in the material nature, Prakriti. Prakriti works under this control because all these manifestations come from Govinda. They could all be visible within the mouth of Govinda. Quite astonishingly, Mother Yashoda was afraid because of intense material affection. She could not believe that within the mouth of her son such things could happen, could appear. Yet she saw them, and therefore she was struck with fear and wonder. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sichaitanna Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shvasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of my spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, blind man can see stars in the sky. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances to the feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Krishna prastaye bhutale shimati tamal Krishna goswami niti namini. Namo Vishnu padaye Krishna prastaye bhutale shimati bhakti vidanda swami niti namini. Namaste sarasati deva gauravani pracharine. Nirvishesha shunavati paskata desatarine. Vancha kalpa dhruvascha kripa zindubhya ivacha. Ptitanam pavane vyo vashnavibhyo namo nama. So Mother Yashoda is taken by fear, and when we are afraid, that's when the surrender comes. It is described in the next couple of verses. people, they become God conscious when they're actually afraid or doubtful, confused. For those who are pious, they take to Krishna consciousness, or they start to pray to God. Where this fear is coming from? Because fear is from actually attachment. She was very attached to Krishna. The fear of losing something, the fear of dying, because we are attached to the body. The fear of we getting hurt, the fear of that our family gets hurt. So Mother Yashoda saw previously, she saw these demons attacking her son. As far as she is aware of, she's just the mother of this little boy, and no conception that he is God. So therefore, insecurity is there. She's feeling very insecure. Anything can happen to my son. Now this magic, this spell, you know, I'm seeing all these things, these phenomena in his mouth. Who is my son? What's going on? So she thought that her own intelligence was bewitching her. She was starting to think that maybe I'm hallucinating, imagining, and seeing what is not there. This is all described in the next verse. So therefore the fear, because she's very attached to Krishna, to her son, and therefore she starts to pray to God, being a godly person, not to Krishna, but to God, to please protect my son. Because it's synonymous, like the universal form. What she saw, it was very scary. Arjuna saw the same thing, the universal form of the Lord, and he became afraid. And he said, my dear Govinda, come back to your two-armed form as my friend. I prefer more to see you in that aspect than this horrible manifestation. So here Mother Yashoda sees everything, the pradhan, the cosmic manifestation, the fire, ether, ether, hair, ether, water, the variety of species, mountains, different bodies. She sees the senses, the mind, the modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, action, reaction. She sees everything. Everything that is created by Lord Brahma. And it's very significant here why Srila Prabhupada addresses God as Govinda in the translation and the purport. Because (clears throat) Lord Krishna is the Adipurush, Govindam Adipurush Tamaham Bhajami. That name was given by Lord Brahma, the oldest, the most ancient personality. And therefore, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, I offer you my humble obeisances. Lord Brahma, he recited the old Brahma Samhita, because Lord Brahma was the one empowered by the Lord to create all this, everything that Mother Yashoda saw in the mouth of Krishna was actually created by Lord Brahma. And Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachitananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda. See the word Govinda there, Sarvakarana Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. He's behind everything, behind everybody, inside everyone, outside of everyone. He's very close to us. He's far away from us. He's in every atoms. It's everywhere, omnipresent. Therefore, he's the cause of everything. The cause, when we don't understand something, is to be understood that the cause of that is Krishna. He doesn't want us to understand. He didn't want Mother Yashoda to understand. He was playing with her. So therefore, he's behind everything. And that's why Prabhupada chose the verse of the Gita 9:10, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. That the hand of God is behind the curtains of this material energy. He's the one that pulls the string and makes everything moving. The fire. All this energy actually is inert. It's non-moving energy. It's supposed to be without any spiritual power. But you can see that there is something, the wind. Who makes the wind blowing? What makes then gives a rise to the waves in the sea and the water moves? When you light the fire, why the fire is moving? Action. It's in motion. It's a living force, because this material energy is actually imbibed by the consciousness of God. So, and yet, materialistic concept of life is that there is no God, there is no soul, there is no spiritual movement. But we can see movements everywhere. The sun moving, the moon moving. Isn't it? The stars glittering. The fire burns, very much moving, very much alive. The water, very dangerous energy. But we can be in harmony with it if we are God conscious. If we know that actually that God is it's in command of this energy, so then we are protected by the same energy. We can dovetail the energy of God in our favor to be used in the proper way for our comfort and for the pleasure of God, because he created this material energy as a comfort for the conditioned soul. Just like the prison house is built by the government for the comfort of the prisoners. But still, you can't call it a home. It's a very uncomfortable place for the soul. Maybe comfortable for the body, for the senses, for the... there is a very tight relationship, dynamic relationship between our senses and the object of the senses. Pratyaksha, like it is described here. Sense perception. the natural instinct and the reaction of karma. Because once we come in contact with these, the sense objects, that's when the reaction takes birth. We call it karma. It can be good or bad. We get up in the morning, and according to our choice and our desires, even the desires is described here. This is actually a very important sloka of the Bhagavatam. The old first kind of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's actually in this sloka. That material energy, the 25 phenomena, and it's constituted by all these items, living entity, the time, the karma, action, reaction, the senses. So we get up in the morning and we choose to do the good thing or a bad thing, and that's when karma comes. Then becomes the past. We suffer, but still we don't learn. We try to run away from bad experience. Isn't it? We make a mistake again and again and again. We choose to break the principles. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. We choose to to do bad things. Then we regret. We know that actually it's not beneficiary for the soul and for the consciousness to do something, to do harm to all to other living entities, to do harm to our body, to gratify the senses. Dusparena nalena cha. No matter how much we enjoy, but still we are hungry for enjoyment. It's like pouring fuel on the fire. And we try to extinguish the thirst of this material desire by putting more and more fuel, so more sense gratification. And that's how it becomes habit. We call it habit. A drugger, he falls into the habit of taking drugs because he knows the first time is nice, so he does it again and again. And then he becomes imprisoned. Habit of eating all sorts of nonsense. The habit of anything which is detrimental, habit of criticizing, blaspheming. You can be constructive with your mind and words, or you can be destructive. And all these things creates karma. But yet we don't understand, we don't learn the lesson. And karma brings suffering. Fear, attachment, we become attached, more and more entangled. What is it? We try to run, we run from the past. Where we should learn from the past. Isn't it? We meditate, by doing that thing, you know, was very bad for me. But still we keep doing it. And sometimes we don't even like to remember how we suffered, and accidentally we do it again. Speaking for myself, and many times we do the wrong thing, and then we said, "Oh, not again!" But I promise you, my dear Lord, I will not do it again. We regret, whether it's breaking the principles, or whether it's making offenses, or whether it's doing something which is making us depressed and sad. So, attachment, you see, the fear is from attachment, that we are attached to the habit of this conditioned life, material life. And we have to, like if you read in the next few verses, Mother Yashoda said, maybe I'm afraid because too much attachment for being a queen of Vrindavan, or for thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, or for thinking that all these cows, all the wealth of Vrindavan, they are my possessions, in my control. Maybe I should become detached. She was trying to become free from that fear, but actually it was the fear of losing Krishna. So, it's very important to meditate on the bad things that we have done in the past and learn from it. Very often a proud person is misbehaving most of the time, but then when it comes to a self-assessment, he thinks, oh, he only thinks about the good things that he's done. We only try to remember all the good things, how much I've given in charity, how much service I've done today, how much a good person I've been. But we don't meditate on the bad things. And then a humble devotee, he meditates on the, not that he dwells on it, but he always remembers the bad things that he's done, and he learns from it, and he's more cautious, and he forgets. He tends to forget all the good things. That's why a good devotee is someone who's not overwhelmed by his good deeds. That's how you separate a boy from a man, or a devotee from an advanced devotee from a neophyte devotee. That a good devotee actually meditates. You know, if I think I am great, what about, you know, what I've done before I joined? Sometimes we think we're better than others. Or very often we think like that. But if we are honest and we advance more in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna gives this projector in our heart. Always remember what you did in the past. See, look, and I'm helping you now. So then once we, when we have a darshan of our memory of all the sinful activity that we have performed, that's when the regretfulness comes, the embarrassment comes. Actually, that person is better than me. Because I was doing all this nonsense, and now by Krishna's mercy I'm doing something good. So who am I to judge? We think we know people. See, the mistake here that Mother Jashoda is making, that she thinks she knows Krishna. And later on you will see the Acharya, they make some comment. That's where the prejudice is from, prejudgment. When we prejudge someone, prejudice, you know, it means familiar. It's actually from familiarity. Living together as devotees, and we think we know each other. Oh, such and such, he's got that much degree of capacity, intelligence. He's deficient in some of the things. So we prejudge, or we think of a lady, you know, she's not very advanced, or she's not very kind person, she's not very intelligent, or she's whatever. The mistake that we make every day is that we think we know, but we are not Paramatma. We are not in the heart of other living entities. Krishna knows everyone. I know everyone, but me, nobody knows. So, of course, on some degree, the spiritual master, he has some understanding of the nature of the disciple. He's the only person, the closest to God, who knows who we really are. And that's why we have to lend some faith to the Guru. Even if we don't feel or we don't have it, just lend it. In the beginning, we lent it. We lent some faith to the movement, to the devotees, to the Guru, to the Shastra. And so the best thing is to actually, rather than looking out for the mirage, for the illusion of prejudging anyone, which very often we always get wrong. Miscommunication, misunderstanding, very, very common. And that's where the Adibhautika, harassment from other living entity comes. We had all this war in the world. It's because harassment from other living entities. The terrorists, they attack the people, innocent people, they harassed. It's all from actually the offenses that we make towards other living entities or towards the animal slaughter, towards the suffering that we cause towards other living entity brings karma. And there is a reaction for it. So we should not be like a rabbit that looks above the grass and run, because he sees the mirage of the water, he's very thirsty, he wants a drink. But actually he has to put the head into the ground, below the grass. Prabhupada used this example, and you can find the water there. So let's look within ourselves. If we want to understand the nature, the human nature, let's look within ourselves. Let's try to understand and become human beings ourselves. Where was I before? Where I'm going? Where I'm planning to go? What is the purpose of life? Where do I want to go after I die? What am I supposed to do? What is the duty of life? Why am I suffering? Sanatana Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the same mentality, with a blade of grass in his mouth. Who am I? Please tell me, who am I? Why am I suffering? So the Acharya, they come to teach us how to understand our own nature. And so if we want to make a little bit of spiritual advancement, then understand and surrender that we cannot force our understanding towards the material energy and towards other living entities or even towards God. We cannot understand. If God does want us to understand, we cannot understand. Mother Jashoda, great devotee of Krishna, but she could not understand that this little boy is God. She was actually diversing her prayer somewhere else, elsewhere, praying to someone else to please protect my child. Of course, that yoga maya pastime. But the thing is, in our situation is to understand the purport of Srila Prabhupada, that first of all, we understand that Krishna is behind this material energy. Let's try to understand that God, it's not just there in the spiritual world where we want to go, and material world, you know, is devoid. Actually, God is everywhere. The other day I was praying for all my misdeeds. I said, my dear Lord Krishna, I know my consciousness, you know, it's not ripe and mature to be with you, but I'll be happy to come back again in this material world, wherever you want to put me, whether it's the heavenly planets, Burloka, the middle planets, or the hellish planets, as long, you know, I carry on doing this preaching. Because I have a little bit of a little taste for this book distribution, for this preaching. It's nice. You introduce someone to God. It's very pleasing to the soul. You feel that you have done something good today. Isn't that the satisfaction? That when you go out and you do something good, it cannot be compared to a winning a lottery. Okay, you may win a lottery and you gratify your senses, you become the king of the world. So what? What good will bring to the society for you to be a winner? Or you become president or prime minister. But if you don't make someone devotee, if you don't deliver your dependence from this world, what good is there in your deeds? So the book distributor, the preacher, Prabhupada left Vrindavan. There was no need for him to come. He was already liberated. He came to give us something. And we're copycat. We're doing exactly the same thing. Trying to give something to those who are lost and suffering. So this is the satisfaction that we find in the activity of preaching. Preaching destroys everything. All the sinful activity that we have performed, it purifies the material energy and purifies the consciousness of the environment and other living entities. It's all purifying and it's all good. What is it that one of my favorite verse in the Gita, Lord Krishna says, when someone does good, he can never be overcome by evil. By giving Krishna consciousness to somebody else, it will immediately dissolve you from the most abominable activity that you have performed in the past. And the Lord himself will raise you to the platform of an exalted Vaishnav, dear, very dear to him. There is nothing on top of that to be discovered. If we try to dig up what is the best thing we could do in this world, right, like Ramananda Roy was asking, Lord Chaitanya was asking, what is the reputation of a Vaishnav who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is in this activity of Jivadoya, merciful to do other living entities? Lord Chaitanya himself, he separated himself, he strapped himself out of the body of Radha and Krishna. He left them to enter into this environment as a devotee. Now you could say, you know, God is enjoying himself as Radha and Krishna. Why is coming down to do something which has got less enjoyment, less taste? But no, it's got more taste. He came as a devotee to experience the mood of Radha and Krishna and also this mood of giving. Liberate the living entities from suffering. There is nothing above that. And Pragosh Prabhu, he gave a very nice quote. I think it was on the first day. It's not important the destination where we want to go. That is not the goal of life. The goal of life is our own service, what we are doing. Let's make our service our goal. Because when you go back home, back to Godhead, you just carry on serving. It's not that you enjoy the destination. So the service that we have at the moment, it's actually the goal of life. Therefore, we don't mind if we take a birthday, as long as we carry on preaching, we carry on serving. And this is the mood, the understanding. Whether or not we understand, the depth of God, like Mother Jashoda. She was not bothered as long as she loved Krishna. The prayers, they were just, by the way, I'll pray to God for the protection of my son. She considered the object of worship, the object of love, more important than the constant meditation of praying to God constantly. So this is Krishna consciousness. When we understand everything, you know, everything is, it's actually created by Krishna and is moved by Krishna and is there for Krishna purpose. We are all created for his pleasure. If someone insults you, you are useless. That person is ignorant, because if I'm useless, that means Krishna is a fool. God is a fool to create something useless. Doesn't make sense, isn't it? If I'm useless, then actually you're not offending me, you're offending my creator. Then I could say, well, blame God, because he created me like that. Right? This is the proper the proper, you know, answer you could give. Blame God. That means, you know, he's not, he doesn't produce good things. He produces useless things. But actually, in the eyes of God, we are all useful and nobody is necessary. We're all worth something. We've been created by God for his pleasure. And in his eyes, we are worth a lot. And not just us, but also the conditioned souls. And that's why we go out and preach. Because they mean something to him. Maybe they don't mean something to us. On that note, I stop the class. Thank you very much.